emotions rise. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. You are mine. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. Father, we just commit our hearts to believing you. We commit our eyes to seeing you. We commit our minds to believing and seeing and knowing you. We commit our wills to choosing you. We commit ourselves to you. I thank you that you do call us beyond our comfort zones and into the places that you have that's beyond our capabilities, that those places aren't beyond your capabilities. We're grateful to you. I put all my hope on the truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the grounds of your goodness. When I'm bowed down with sorrow, I will lift up and the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me. My eyes to the hills where my help is found. Your voice fills the night. Raise my head up and hear the sound. Though fires burn all around me, I will praise you, my God. And the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me. Father, good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me. Shall follow me all my life. I trust in your promise, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. I trust in your promise. Shall follow me. good to me, good to me, you. Good to me, good to me, you. Good to me. Jesus, you are good to me, good to me. beautiful one.
Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must see. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one. So powerful, your glory fills the skies. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to see how marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, one I adore, beautiful one, my soul must see. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one, my soul must see.
You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with your love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must see. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul. My soul must see, beautiful one, beautiful one, I love, beautiful one, I adore, beautiful one, my soul.
You may be seated for just a minute. Paula, would you come and share what happened with you on Wednesday night? Talking about the beautiful one, I think Paula met up with him Wednesday.
So, oh my gosh, guess who's here? So Wednesday night was packing night, and I had gotten some like sort of bad news on Monday that really got me down. And I was really down Monday. I was really, really down Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, I was so beside myself. I couldn't even function. I went to bed really early Tuesday night, like 8 o'clock, because I couldn't even stand to be up. I was so upset over the news I got. So Wednesday, I barely made it through the day, and I had to come over here to packing, so I knew I had to get myself together. So I struggled and got over here. And I was sitting unpacking, tearing apart bags to pack with. And this guy, Bill, who helps out, who's really sensitive to the Spirit, came in. And he came over to me and he said, Paul, I really felt some resistance as soon as I walked in. He goes, I felt something from the adversary, and I think it's on you. And my tears just started pouring down my face as I'd been crying for 3 days. And he said, let me pray for you after packing. So after packing, he came up to me and he said, when I experienced this, I looked that demon in the face and I commanded it to go. And he had me repeat a few things after me. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And he put his hand on me and he said, I command you to go from her now in Jesus' name. And immediately I was freed. I had absolute peace, almost joy, I would say. And from that point on, it is gone. That oppression, all of it, just gone. So I have just been praising God. He did something so huge that night, and we're just going to expect more and more and more of it. It's taking place now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The beautiful one showed up, huh? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, that's an amazing thing when God just pops in and does what needs to be done and set Paula free and left Paula free to rejoice in the Lord thereafter. And so we're thankful for that. We celebrate the goodness of God, the beautiful one.
Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul. Look at him in the eyes. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul will see. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. 'Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with your love. Nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul.
Start over.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy is the Lord.
We'll go right up to the top of what he's got there, I think. We'll start with the hymn again, okay? Here, back to the hymn.
if you are having, I'll call it distractions, but it's kind of like if you're focusing on the Lord, somehow you end up over here. And God has clarity for that, healing for that, that you would not be distracted and that you would have all that he has for you.
So it's very possible that there's some, or more than some, one, more than one, that you get, you set out to seek the Lord, and the next thing you know, mine's rounded off over here. If that's never happened to you, then you have experienced a miracle all your life long. But if it has happened to you and you have found that it repeatedly happens, the Lord is saying, I'm going to help you move better. How much should anybody here want to do better? Okay, they got 5 people, 12 people. Okay, and I suppose there's enough of us that maybe God would hear our prayer. So, Lord, as we acknowledge our need, we wander off so easily, wander off into foolish stuff, needless wanders. We ask and we pray that you would draw us into you so that we would not wander off. We desire to focus and to be kept focused on you and your purposes. And all the people say, amen, amen.
We worship you, Father, for you are worthy of our worship. You are holy. You are holy. The whole earth is full of your glory. You are holy and worthy of our worship. And so we worship you today.
Well, I want to share some wonderful news from my life. I have a brand new grandbaby as of this week. Nathan Gabriel was born this week to Nate and Courtney. We are just absolutely delighted. And he was 9 pounds and 11 ounces, which... was larger than expected, and made for an interesting set of circumstances. I ended up, Betsy and I were in the waiting room for quite a few of the 21 hours that she labored. And as things got closer to the end, there was just an awful lot of intercession going up, and just super grateful to the Lord. He is good. In the difficult times, you guys that were here last week, you know, Dad said, "And we know," right? That was one of Dad's points. "And we know. And we know that here we are in the middle of it all, and we know that God is good. Here we are in the difficulty, and it's not going kind of like what we expected. And we know that God is good. And we know. And we know." And we know was true in that time. Because of how labor progressed, there was some pretty serious trauma to the uterus and whatever. Because of that, and because things didn't finish as expected, a C-section was required. And in fact, an emergency C-section. The truth is that in the process, she lost about half of her blood, which was a shocking revelation to me. And I don't think that the doctors were particularly happy about that fact, and even thought that they would have to be relatively, they considered actually removing her uterus, actually. It was that serious. But I'm here to say I have a beautiful grandson and a beautiful daughter who is well and healthy and has all her parts. And I'm really happy about that. What's that? And it was a miracle. That's the truth. It was a miracle. Give it that she has all her parts. It was good, a good, good father. And we know that God is good.
Part of the miracle was that by the time she needed that, they actually had two surgeons available, and one of the surgeons was not expected, but present when needed, and he was the super expert on dealing with these kinds of traumas. And so, unusual, not expected, but present when needed, two surgeons to put it together.
Nathan means gift of God. Gabriel means man of God. And this little guy is as certainly a gift and a man of God as declared over him by his parents who gave him such a name. And we rejoice in him. Courtney and Nate and little Nate are all still in the hospital today. I talked to Nate and Courtney this morning, and they said that they don't expect to be released today. So maybe tomorrow, not sure, but we're things are going well, and health is happening for all of them. And Courtney is, and Gene and I took a few laps around the nurse's station with Courtney yesterday, so she's cranking and doing better than expected, which is of course exactly what we expect, right? And that kind of how it works. So definitely blessed by the Lord in this week. I don't know, maybe next week we'll see the whites of his eyes. I'm not positive. I don't know exactly when Courtney will decide it's time. Next week, the next week after that, who knows, sometime. She's such an aggressive mom, and it's just beautiful to watch her with her little guy. So that was the blessing of my week, is that I got to hold my grandchild and love my healthy daughter at the same time. So. I'm blessed in that whole thing. All right, I want to welcome you all here today, and I want you to open your heart. I feel like I have a fairly substantive word to give to you today, and I just like you to focus with me and receive, you know, expand your heart to receive a big word, okay? Proverbs 14:12 says this: "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Reality speaking, there we think we know what we're talking about. and we're wrong. Okay? Simple, very straightforward. We think we got it figured out, and we don't have it figured out. We think we know we're right, and we're wrong. Okay? Facts. Okay? There is a way that seems right to you and me, but the end is death. That's not a good end. We'd like a different end. Okay? So, there's a different approach that can be done.
Are you going to do Isaiah 55?
Yeah, that's right next. Are you good for that? Do you want to give me some Isaiah 55?
I was afraid you were going to skip
Isaiah. I'm not going to skip it. I won't skip it. All right? In fact, I'm going to read a bunch of it. Does anybody want to read for me? I'm going to let Jocelyn read this morning, so you can read the whole section that's there for me. Would you do that? Isaiah 55.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
FYI, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Those are a couple of commands. So good, start to the beginning again. Don't think that you can go to sleep now, because there's some important commands in that. Go ahead.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
It's important that we forsake our ways and our thoughts. Go ahead.
And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Okay, there's a command there. I noted that to you. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's something that we're actually about. You know, I know that we don't really like to consider ourselves wicked, but let me just say, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The reality is that we have stuff that God wants to transform. Our ways are not his ways. He actually has better ways than we have. In fact, the reality, according to Isaiah 55, is that his ways, compared to our ways, are so much better that it's like as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much higher his ways are than ours. Now, you know, you start thinking about that comparison. Anybody want to tell me what the top end of the heavens is? Somebody help me out here. How far is the furthest quasar that we've seen? Anybody know? I don't. But it's pretty far out there, okay? And the truth of the matter is that that's not the end of the heavens. It's farther than that, okay? And now, that, you know, you could say, you know, you got, you know, factors of, you know, billions or trillions, okay? So that, you know, that would be one way of thinking about the fact that his ways are higher than ours as far as the heavens are above the earth. That's one way of thinking about it. There's another way of thinking about it, and that is dimensionally speaking. Because, as you probably are aware, the heavens aren't just the sum of the cosmos, but the heavens are beyond the cosmos. Dimensionally speaking, what God is saying is that my ways are even dimensionally beyond your ways. It's not even measurable. It's not like 2x or 3x or 1,000x or 1,000,000,000x. It's not that. It's dimensionally, I've got different ways than you do, and I have ways to shift inside of you, and I'm interested in shifting your ways. Because, just as a hint, your ways don't amount to life, but the ways of God do amount to life. You see, he talks, he says, call upon the Lord while he's near. He says, let the wicked forsake his ways. Then he says, my ways are higher. And then he says, my word will go forth from my mouth and it will accomplish. Okay, so let's connect this. He's saying something about the fact that he's got these great ways and that his word will go forth from his mouth and it will accomplish something. Okay, there's a connection between those. And then he says, because of this, it'll succeed. And because of this, you'll have joy. And there'll be good things that come out of your life. Okay, so that's the whole sequence of Isaiah 55. Do you have a comment on Isaiah 55?
Yes. You skipped. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Yes.
I just want to catch the thought.
Yes.
Which is larger, a thought or a word? The word, the thought is far larger. I mean, more encompassing. I mean, let me just say this. I could say, I love my dog, I love my pizza, and I love my wife. I communicated something to you, but you haven't got a clue what I communicated. Is the word love the same in all three categories?
No.
Hugely different. But I knew what I was saying. But it's hugely different. So when I say I love my wife, I mean, I have some sense of what I mean by that. But you only barely got a clue of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know the parameters somewhat of that love. And I use the word I love my wife. And you say, well, he's kindly intentional toward her. And that's nice thing. That's nice. But you really don't know the content of the word love. That's what I think. That's bigger. The bigger thing is what I think rather than the word. The word is a very small thing compared to the thought. Are you with me? Did you catch that? Huge. And so when God says my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, he's saying it's bigger. And then he speaks of my word going forth, you think, man, I've got it because I heard the word. You've got a clue. You caught a clue of what God's thought is. And in a moment, you caught a clue, but you need more than a moment to get it all. You'll need eternity to get it all, but you need time with him. I just want to say one other thing. When Moses was having his little confrontation with God, and Moses said, let me just read it to you. I do have it here someplace. Don't go away, George. Moses says to God, you said, bring this people up, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you said, I have not known you by name. You have said, I have known you by name. You have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I might know you. God says to Moses, I'm favorably inclined to you. And Moses' response was, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways. Well, what Moses was understanding was, I got a clue about who God is, and I have an idea, but how do you function? How does this work? How does this work with me? You give me a job to do, take the children of Israel up out of Egypt, okay, I got the idea. We're going to go from Egypt to Palestine. I got the idea. But how are we going to do that? Show me your ways. Betsy. Okay, you read it right. She's going to give us it right.
You just said a little different, but it's really significant. It's what you're saying. He said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor.
Isn't that amazing? You want to say some more about that? He had found favor, and he wants to find favor. And the way to find favor is to walk with God. I mean, he wanted to plug into the bigger picture of God. And I think that one of the things that we need to take away from this is that the thoughts and the ways of God are bigger than something we have learned by rote or something. It's an alive, ongoing reality. And it's a live, ongoing reality that's far greater than anything we have even begun to think about. We have a clue. Now let's walk with him.
So I was talking with Larry in the back just a moment ago, and he was talking to me about how the fact that you have a word. And if you have a word or even a sentence, in order to really understand that word or that sentence, you're probably going to need the punctuation that goes with it. So you have to add that in. And in fact, you know, in translation of the Hebrew and the Greek, typically punctuation wasn't there. And so then the translators have to decide they're going to add that. Okay. And then that's one thing that to add just to help it be understandable. But then honestly, if Dad says, "I love my dog, my pizza, and my wife," okay, the truth is that Dad probably doesn't say it just like that if he's trying to communicate. He says, you know, "Yeah, I love pizza, you know, and you know what, I love my dog, and but let me tell you something, I really love my wife." Okay, so there's an emotional, even gesturing, there's multiple dimensions of the reality of communication, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, and his words are some of the mechanisms that we need, but we need all the dimensionalities of his words in order to acquire the real true meaning, what he's trying to get from us and for us. We need more. So let me remind you, Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near."
Notice that the command then is to seek what?
The Lord.
Oh, the Lord.
Him. Oh, himself. Him.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, and because?
Because he's got stuff, good stuff that's beyond us, okay, and we need that stuff that's beyond us. All right, so Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, end his death. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord because he's got great ways and you need to do this exchange." Romans 11:33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." Here's the deal. To say it's unfathomable means you can't get to the bottom of it. Right? You can't measure down to the depths of it. The starting point for us to do this exchange, the starting point is the humility to recognize that his ways are much, much better, much, much deeper than our ways. There's a place of humility that sends us seeking the Lord. I want to talk you through a couple of scriptures out of Deuteronomy that speak to some of the perspectives that we need to have to acquire the Lord's ways. Deuteronomy 8, 5 through 6 says, "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son." So God's training you and disciplining you, moving you ahead. He's wanting to move things ahead for you. "Therefore," verse 6, "you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God." And there's a reason that you keep his commandments. Okay, we're going to get to this. I'm going to delve into this a little bit. It's so that you can walk in his ways and fear him. So it says, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Now this word commandments, I want to begin to talk to you about it. Right now I'm going to just exchange it for another word, and that is commands. Okay? Because this term, this commandments, sounds to you like a whole set of rules. Okay? That's what it sounds like. When I hear that word commandment, that's what it sounds like. But the word actually means commands, okay? So what it's saying here is, when the Lord instructs you, or when he commands you to do something, hold on to that, because that will help you to walk in his ways and to fear him. Here's another verse out of Deuteronomy, and this is the one that we'll use to elucidate some of these terms. Deuteronomy 26, verse 17 and following. "You have today declared the Lord to be your God, that you would walk in his ways," and here's some definitions of that, "to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and to listen to his voice." Okay, so here's the mechanism by which we begin to walk in the ways of God. So these three words are words that, to me, when I first read them, they sounded just like laws, laws, and more laws, okay? His statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments, okay? I just thought, oh, wow, these are just other words. Why do we have to say three things for the same thing? So I begin looking, and they're not three things for the same thing, and in fact, they're not really laws, laws, and more laws. They're not that, okay? So I already gave you the hint. It's commandments would be better understood commands or instructions. So when he gives you instructions, you keep his instructions. You keep a hold. You take a hold of his commands and his instructions. Okay, that's part one. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to go over this a few times, but I'm just going to tell you that. Number two, his ordinances. As it turns out, ordinances is not just like, you know, a different set of laws. Maybe it's the state laws instead of the local or county or, you know, federal laws. No, it's not that at all. His ordinances are actually his judgments or his verdicts on your behalf. Now, we know that God has extraordinarily gracious judgments for us. As you have heard me say multiple times, because of the infinite mercy of God, and because of the infinite justice of God, and because there is just one infinite God, his justice and his mercy conspired together. They met together. His justice and mercy said, how are we going to both be satisfied completely, 100%? And they said, through Jesus, we will allow complete mercy, complete grace to go forward at the same time as being required to do this by my own justice. You see, by the justice of God, because Jesus took all of the penalty for your sins and my sins, because of his justice, he is required by his justice to give mercy to you and to me. And he loves the fact that his infinite justice and his infinite mercy can come into complete alignment through Jesus to give you good judgments. So let me just say, when you read the word ordinance, understand his judgments. And his judgments are what he's saying about who you are. Okay, he's talking about who you are, and he's talking about what he has installed inside of you. So when he's talking about judgments, who here loves to be, you know, anybody want to say, oh, I love it when people just judge me, right? Right? Why? Because what they really are saying to you when you feel like you're being judged by somebody, it's like, George, I saw what you did and I know why you did it. And your heart is nasty, right? The bottom line why you don't like to be judged isn't even that, you know, yes, you know, maybe you threw the baseball, okay? And the person missed it and it broke the window. Okay, great. Okay. But, you know, I saw what you did and you meant to break the window, okay? Now, the thing you don't, I mean, yes, let's face it, the ball broke the window, okay? And nobody's even arguing about facts, okay? But it's the heart of the matter that matters. And what you're worried about when I'm judging you that way is a heart, okay? And so in God's judgments, I'm going to tell you, God's judging not just, you know, whether you broke something or not, but he's judging your heart. And he's speaking to your heart. And he has creative capacity to judge into you. When he declares a judgment, it's not a judgment that somebody just gets to decide whether it's right or not. There is no higher court. When he judges you to have the nature of Jesus Christ, because that is his justice, you have the nature of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is the judgments of God go forward, and they're the truth. The truth is that he has said, I have set up a divine exchange, and the divine exchange means I judge into you the very righteousness, the very nature of my holy son. You are these ways. This is who you are. So,
we argue with him.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of silly.
And it seems like we've got a, well, I actually did it. I did throw the ball.
Yep. You argue with him. And you know what? Sometimes.
And we argue with God, and he says, well, I set that aside, and I've given you mercy. And he said, well, yeah, but I don't feel like it.
Right. Well, you know, you have the, let's set up the situation. You've got the judge, and the judge has his gavel, and he says, here's my judgment. And there is your advocate, Jesus, okay? And he's speaking the truth. about who you are. But there's another one. There's the accuser. And the accuser speaks, and often we like to say what the accuser says.
Yeah.
We want to agree with the accuser because we already feel pretty soiled and yucky, and he's pretty sly about how he does it.
And it seems like we're telling the truth, too.
It does seem like we're telling the truth, but he always lies. And here's the real truth. The gavel has spoken. The advocate, the true advocate, has spoken truth. And that's who we are.
And he's the one, the only one, who can speak that with absolute certainty because he did it all.
And he sees the end from the beginning. Okay, so he's the eternal judge that gets to say these, to make these judgments and to declare. On the basis of the cross, he declares a truth and a true judgment that we need to understand and receive. So, your commands, to keep his commands, his ordinances, i.e., his judgments, and his statutes. His statutes are a third thing. So first of all, his commands are what you hear, what he's instructing you, okay? His judgments are what he has said about your nature. And I'll give you a hint. What he has said about your nature is, your nature becomes my nature. My nature becomes yours. You can imagine that if you would obey his commands, and if your heart would be so filled with his nature that it's just like him, you're well on your way to acquiring his ways. You're well progressing into being and living and acting like him. Because you're doing what he says to do, but you're also acquiring his very nature. The who he is. But then there's the statutes. And the statutes, again, sounds like a whole bunch of law, but it's not. What it is actually it's an appointment. And, you know, we can think about an appointment as like, I've got a dentist appointment, so in other words, you know, 3 o'clock on Wednesday. And there is some of that. That's a legitimate understanding of the word appointment as it's used here. But the other aspect of appointment is not about time, but about positioning. And so the appointments of God have to do with timing in your life, but also positioning. What he wants to do and take you. And he wants to say, all right, Bob, I'm going to take you and I'm going to appoint you to have some authority in this location and to execute righteousness or do whatever I've got you to do. So you've been appointed, Bob, as a husband, for example. And so he gives you authority in that place. And he appoints you at that moment to execute the authority that God gave you as a husband to release grace into your wife, for example. Okay? But there's appointments. Okay? So when we read these scriptures, sometimes we have to understand the underlying actual meanings and the call of God because this is how we acquire his ways. Okay? We want to have his ways, not our ways. We want his ways. How are his ways? Okay, so you have today declared the Lord to be your God. You'd walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, i.e., his appointments. Keep his appointments. When he says, here's a time and here's something I want you to do, own that, guard it, keep it, don't let go of that. Let me just say the word keep. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, okay, the word keep means something very special. Want me to tell you what it means? It means keep. Okay? It doesn't mean something that you think that it means, okay? So it doesn't mean perfectly accomplish everything associated with it. It means hold on to it, guard it, keep it, don't let go of it, okay? If I say to you, here's my wallet, keep it, what does that mean? Oh, Jill, obey my wallet. No, it doesn't mean that. It means hold on to this thing and do not let go. Guard it, okay? There's something valuable here. Please hold on to this, keep it. Right? That's what the word keep means. Anybody want to agree or disagree? Keep means keep. Okay, great. I'll keep it if that's all right with you. All right, so the reality is that he says that you would walk in his ways and keep his appointments, who he has said you are. And here's the thing to do in that time. His commands. What he's speaking to you. Hold on to that. Hold on to those things. And then his ordinances, his verdicts, his judgments of you. Hold on to what he says about your nature. Don't you give up. Hold on to it. Okay, keep it. Grab a hold of and keep this thing. Guard it. Guard it. That's what the word keep means. Okay, I realize that, you know, sometimes we get all crazy about things, but the word keep means keep. Hold on to. Guard. Don't let go of. Keep.
the big difficulty is, I'm not arguing, I just want you to see the difficulty, George. Is
all
that,
right.
Say he says, even say I'm righteous.
Right.
I won't argue about that, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And maybe he says, I want you to minister to the troops in Wayne County. And I go into my life and I don't see any troops, and so I say, shrug, I guess. Well, maybe he said that. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I don't know if that appointment is really a legitimate appointment. Maybe I just thought that. And I fumble around with the appointment. I fumble around with even the judgment. You understand what I'm saying? I let the moment of the appointment go by, and I then a week later, I don't even know if that appointment really stands. I'm not saying he didn't. He wouldn't stand firm. I'm struggling with it. Not, did I hear it right, or was I just screwing around?
But there's another problem.
You don't have any of these problems?
I've got that problem. I've got other problems. I've got worse problems, okay? One of the worst problems is when I threw the ball to the guy, yeah, I was throwing it to the guy, but, you know, I didn't really care whether it hit the glass or not. Or at least that's what I think. But he says I'm righteous in my heart, and he has judged my heart differently than I have. And so, yes, I struggle because I don't know whether I'm going to keep this appointment or I can even figure out how to do this, but I also struggle more deeply with who I am. Because I've listened to the enemy speak about how evil I am and how disgusting I am and how perverted I am so long that it's hard for me to believe the judgments of God.
And I might believe it for a minute, but by next Tuesday,
well,
I'm back to where I was.
Often I find myself back there, but sometimes it's because I threw the ball and it went by the guy. I'm not sure even whether it was intentional or not, and I broke the glass. So where is my heart? Is he right, or is that accuser right?
That's the struggle right
there. The real deal is it comes down to keeping some things. We need to hold on to some things. What does God say about you, Hannah? What does he say? Who does he say you are? That's his judgments of who you are. What does he say he's going to do with you? And when? Well, hold on to that. What is he telling you to be about? That's who you're called to be. The commands of God, what he declares over you. Now you got to hold on to these things. You know what? Can I just tell you something? You can't do God's gracious judgments over you. He has to do those. You can't do what he commands you to do. You'll only do it screwed up if you try to do it on your own strength. You can only barely, you know, you can hear him and you can hold on to him and then let him accomplish them because you're not the one that's accomplishing it. Yes, you agree to it, but your job is to guard, to keep, to hold, to believe what he has said. It's incredibly important. If you want to walk in his ways, then you listen to what he's saying, what he's instructing you and commanding you. You listen to what he's speaking about who you are, his judgments and his righteous judgments over your nature. He has shared his nature into you. And his appointments, the time and the position that he has for you. You grab those things and you don't let go of them. And you let him accomplish them because he's the only one that can. I'll finish reading this verse and then we'll go on to the next one. You have today declared the Lord to be your God. You'd walk in his ways, keep his statutes, commandments, his judgments over you, his commands and instructions to you, and his appointments in your life. And listen to his voice. The Lord today declared you to be his people, his treasured possession, as he has promised you. Tuesday morning, you wake up and you're struggling.
I'm arguing about, I don't see the appointment being fulfilled. Help me to argue back out of that into the truth of what God has, he has spoken to me. But Tuesday, it doesn't, the clouds are just covering the landscape and God's glory is lacking. Now, here I am. What do I do?
I have a few things I want to say to you.
Okay, he's going to instruct me. You can listen if you want.
This comes out of Isaiah chapter 55. Okay. And we read it, and Jocelyn read it to you, so you should have been listening, Dad.
I'll pay attention next time.
All right, do it. So will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, and it without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So the starting point isn't for you to do anything except believe that what he said he is true. Okay, now let me just tell you something. We know, all of us, I'm pretty sure, know that you don't get saved because you did something good. You don't get saved because you proved that you did something good. You don't get saved because you said something to Jesus and then you started acting like it. That's not how you got saved. You got saved by faith. You got saved because you believed. Okay? And then the believing resulted in actual instant righteousness. Okay? There's a truth that came, a judgment of your righteousness that came about instantaneously. You believed, he said, yep, there you go, you're righteous, done, game's up. And then you walked around and stumbled and threw the baseball, it smashed the window and tripped over things, right? The scriptures say this. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For, now listen, this is the key phrase, okay, listen. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Game's up. Believed, righteous. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay, so now, there's this thing about guarding that which you, okay, so you've got it, hold on to it, believe it. And there's even the confession, the declaration, the operational belief. Okay, so you just screwed up on Tuesday morning. You're a mess, okay? But there's the truth of a believing, okay? And you hold on to the believing. Maybe even you use your mouth to confess something so that that true righteousness, which you can barely see at the moment because it's Tuesday morning and, you know, you're not in a good way. The truth of that righteousness becomes salvation to you as you believe it operationally today in Tuesday morning, right? Okay, so let's work more on that. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So there's a sacrifice going on, and it's you. It's your body, it's you. You get to be the sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so let's talk about this. So the truth is, you started out your Tuesday morning apparently conformed to this world. You're discouraged, you're kind of believing lies, is that right? But you know in your heart that there's some reality with God. There's a truth. What he has commanded you, you know those things. Okay, you know something about his judgments toward you. Those are good things. You know something about his appointment of you, whether that's time or space or position. You know some of those things. And so then, you're either going to allow your mind to stay in the gutter with you on Tuesday morning, or you're going to operate in the faith that transforms. There's a renewing of the mind that changes how you think. You got to decide. You get to decide. Here's another thing that it says. This is a Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what does that mean? It means that you have righteousness and you're working out salvation. And the primary motive force behind salvation coming into your life is starting with belief and then confessing or operationalizing. I know that this is real. I know this is true. I'm holding on to this in fact. I'm going to see it. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to let go of it despite the fact that there's a broken window and it's Tuesday morning and I'm not happy. Is that right? Okay, so there's something to this. It goes on to say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. From there it goes on as well. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Okay, now this is key actually. Grumbling is you're whining a bit. You're complaining a bit. Okay, don't whine about it. Okay, Tuesday morning you're feeling down. Don't whine about it. You've got a better confession. There's a truth. Okay, so don't whine about it. But this disputing here, you know, it sounds like you're going to argue with me about it. This dispute business. It's not it. Okay, it's actually internal discussion. Internal consideration or debate. Okay? So, the question is, are you going to let the enemy have standing in your mind to speak the lies that he has, or are you going to guard the truth about what God has said about you? Which is it going to be? Is there going to be this internal war? You're going to dispute within yourself, consider back and forth? You can, but that's not you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's you deciding you're going to, you know, allow the enemy access to your brains. The truth is that you guard the one thing. You hold on to what he has said. You own, protect, keep. Yeah, you feel this way. Yeah, you did just that. Where are you going to put your eyes? Who are you going to believe? And what did he say? So verse 14 there says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life so that it won't be in vain. Here's the truth. You hold on. You grab a hold of. You don't let go of. You say, I'm going to hold this thing. I'm going to guard this thing. What God has said about me, I'm going to believe it. Not only am I going to believe it, I'm going to confess it. That's the thing that's going to come out of my mouth. I'm not going to agree with the enemy in this regard. I'm going to agree with God in this regard. What God has said to me about me, that's his judgments. Do you know, I just want to remind you, and I didn't hit this hard enough, I don't think, when I was back on it. Where are God's judgments over you? It's his own name. It's his own nature that he places on you and in you. So his judgments with respect to you are not simply you're a nice person or whatever. His judgments with respect to you is I have given you my very nature. I put my name on Pat, and because I put my name on Pat, my nature is accessible to Pat by my spirit. Let's face it, he has put his Holy Spirit within her so that she can have the whole of God, his Holy Spirit, right within her, and she can access every facet of his nature, every facet of his life-giving, power-emanating, righteous, holy nature. That's within this daughter of God. And how does she access it? Well, she just, you know, starts doing, you know, serious heavy lifting. She goes to the gym and manages to get it done. You know what I'm saying? It's because of her great biceps. Can we see your bicep, please? You know, we can, because of her great biceps, because of her incredible abilities in her, of her own self. No, it's because she believes and she confesses. She doesn't give the enemy standing, even in her own mind, to dispute the truth that God has spoken over her life. That's how she does it. She's not a perfect person, Pat is not. And so when it comes right down to it, sometimes the enemy would like to convince her, based on circumstances and data that's available, that she really doesn't have the nature of God, and that she really doesn't have the righteousness of God. But when she listens to him, then he can erode her salvation in some regard. But when she listens to God and believes him and even confesses what he has said, then it results, according to Romans, into salvation. The actual emanating of what is, what the becoming apparent upon her that there is righteousness within her. That's where it says that you may prove. So the mind, Pat's mind becomes renewed. And she begins to prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Why? Because out of her is coming the stuff that he has put into her because she's believing, She's not letting go of. She's not willing to dispute it, and she's confessing all the way there. Therefore, we can get to James. Which verse 15? Oh, yes. Okay, you're right. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Is that what you're talking about? Okay, this is back to Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Don't even disagree inside yourself. Don't argue within you. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Children of God. Above reproach. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Of whom you appear as lights in the world. Holding fast to the word of life. Here's the truth. When you don't grumble. But you hold on. You hold on. You grab a hold of. You believe. You're not willing to have this internal dispute between the enemy and God. Your advocate, Jesus, says this and the enemy says that, and you're kind of weighing things and trying to decide who's right and who's wrong. Right? You know, maybe the enemy's right this time. You think? Maybe he didn't lie. Maybe this is the one time that the enemy didn't lie. Is it possible? No, it's not possible. The truth is that you hold on to the commands. You hold on to his judgments over you. You hold on to his appointments. And you believe those. And you don't even dispute internally.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so in the midst of the argument, if there is one, we need to instantly say, whatever he said, it's way out. Much more valuable, important, secure than anything else I could think of.
Okay, so now let's just jump right in there, okay, and understand something. If indeed his thoughts are much higher than your thoughts, okay? But I thought you were pretty smart, Jill. No? No? Wait a minute. I'm smart. Can you agree with me? I'm smart. Okay, I'm smart. Can't I have really amazing thoughts? What about, can't I have thoughts as good as God's thoughts? Let's just say structurally, it's a stupid thing to think about, okay? I'm going to, in this biological organ, construct some, you know, fantastic logical, you know, consideration that is far above all of creation, right? Oh, give me a break. What a ridiculous thought, okay? It's obnoxious for me to not recognize that one of God's thoughts, if I tried to squeeze the whole of one of God's thoughts into my brain, it'd probably explode my brain. Just one of his thoughts. Okay? It's silly to think that I can house in my finite cranium one of the infinite God's infinite thoughts. Just one of them. It'd be ridiculous for me to think that I could hold the whole of one of his thoughts. The truth is, that's why he gives Pat his Holy Spirit. And that's why he says, hold on to the things that I've given to you. Hold on to the thing. Why hold on to the thing? Because I'll give you the peace you need. I'll command you. I'll instruct you. I'll speak to you my judgments. I'll declare to you my appointments. These are the things that you need. And I'll give you the next one when you need it. You're not going to house this in your brain. You're not going to hold the whole thing in there. But the pieces I give you, you hold on to those ones. Because those are the ones you need for today. It happens to be Tuesday and the glass is broken. And here you are. You need that. I gave it to you yesterday, so hold on to it. I'm giving it to you today, so hold on to it. Guard it. Don't let it go. The reality is, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways than yours. But here, I give you myself for you to access on a regular basis. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Paula, want you to come up with me for a minute? Yes, there's only one Paula back there. I had got this email through Dad, and because I didn't see it early. So I wanted you to, do you have your glasses, or can you see?
Hopefully I can sort of remember.
Well, there's some things, and what I want you here is just to jump in and toss in. Oh. I'll walk along, and you just jump in and toss in as you want, okay?
Okay.
So Paula sent me a message this morning that and I'm just going to hit some of her high points, and I want you to integrate them into the message that the Lord's already given to us this morning. But one of the first ones is, he sent his word and healed them. Okay, so I want you to recognize something. I want you to grab a hold of something. When God speaks his commands, when God declares his appointments in your life, when God indicates to you the nature that he has placed into you by his judgments and his gracious judgments are true, when you have those, let me just say something. He sent his word and healed them. Okay? Your healing is out of this. Your healing is grabbing a hold of the truth. I put all my hope on the truth of your promise. Okay, why? Because there's the truth. The truth of what he has given to us is to us healing, is life to us. You have anything you want to say about that one? All right. Mom does. God cannot lie. Okay, that comes out of Titus. The reality is what he has said is true. He has said it. It is the truth. I like this one that you put down here. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Do you want to say anything about that? Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
Do you want me to say what I said above it?
If you wish. Anything you want.
Well, last week, Pastor George shared a point, which is true, that, you know, in, like, third world countries, they're desperate for God. They really, really need God because they have, like, nothing. But over here in this Western world, we have everything, you know. So often people don't need God because they're all set. They're just fine. But recently I realized that there's situations in our lives where nothing we can do, say, advice, counsel, nothing can help. Only God can. It could be about, you know, a situation with someone we love. It could be a medical issue, a relational issue, and we may all have those type of issues. And I realized when Pastor said that, it just came to me, we are desperate for God. We are dependent on him more than we even realize in the most crucial situations in our lives. And in those situations, we have to give it to him. And in that place, we have got to trust in him and believe in him and believe he has it. And he put right on my heart that when we do that, he's going to take care of us. And right when I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the day before I was going to go for a walk, and it was like a major blizzard outside. And I was all excited because I love the snow. So I was getting ready to go out. I step out the door, and it stopped. The kids will attest to this. I'm like, oh. So I went for a walk for like 40 minutes. No snow. I came back, came in, took my coat off, and it is a blizzard out again. And I knew God was speaking something through it, but at the time I wasn't sure what. Well, when Pastor George was talking about that in church Sunday, I knew just what God was saying. As we trust in God and put our hope in him, he is going to keep us in that safe, in that place, like outside of the blizzard and the chaos and all this stuff going around us that we can't control. We have no control. We can't do anything about. And he's going to, as the scripture he just read, give us that perfect peace as we stay.
Yeah, I want to dissect that word a little bit. Okay, so he will keep him in perfect peace. What's the word keep mean? Oh yeah, keep. That's right. It means keep. He will guard you. He will keep you. He will maintain you there. He himself will keep you. Okay? In what? Perfect peace. Let me just say, perfect peace is the sense of nothing broken. Nothing's missing. Nothing's broken. Now I have a question for you. Why does he even have to tell you that? Because there's storms. Because there's junk out there. And what is your role in this? Believing. Whose mind is stayed on him. You keep your brains listening to what he says. His commands, his judgments, his appointments over you in your life. You believe that. You don't believe something else. He will keep him whose mind is stayed on thee, he will keep him in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust is a powerful thing. One of my fun little times this week on the birth date of my grandson, my daughters and I sang one of my favorite songs, My Soul Wait, to my grandson for the first time outside the uterus, okay? Not the first time, but the first time outside the uterus. And out of the middle of that, he only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. Okay, so let me just say, how does one access one's stronghold? Keep your mind on him. Stay believing what he says. Don't listen to the enemy. Stay right there. Sometimes it's to trust in your false comfort is easier than trusting me. Do you have something you want to throw in? Feel free when you want. I think you do.
Did you want me to say what I said?
Sure, you can say, sure.
Yep. Are you sure? Because I can't really see it. Let me think about.
Just if something hits you, okay? I'm going to read the last thing over here, and if something hits you, you give it to us, okay? This says, I am with you. Do not fear. Okay, can I just tell you something? I am with you is such a big reality that you got to keep your mind stayed on that. You cannot let go of this truth, okay? Here, can I just say, that's an appointment for you. Can I just say, a permanent appointment, a fixture of your appointment is that he is with you, period, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That is appointment that crosses all time, positionally you're there, and you'll never, ever, ever escape, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. You never, never, hold on to that. Keep this. This is one of your appointments. Hold on to that appointment. Don't let go of that one. I am with you. Do not fear. Never doubt my love. Never doubt my power. Your heights of success will be won by the daily, persistent doing of what I have said. Let me just say to you, when you daily persist and believing what God has said to you, and owning what he has said to you to the point of confessing what he has said to you, you will regularly do and accomplish who he has said you are. Let me just say, your job starts with believing. And your job starts with believing so much that you won't listen to any other thoughts. You won't even allow a dispute internally to begin. You won't listen to the argument between the enemy and what God has said, because the only thing that matters is what God has said. This is your part. You get to believe. Can I just tell you something? You are a believer. Okay? Just letting you know. You're a believer. That's what you do. What you're listening to. What you're allowing to dispute inside of you. You're a believer. Be careful what you believe. Because you're a believer. Understood? Does that make sense?
I heard somebody give this really neat like visual of that. And like there's this little desk in your mind, and when the thought comes to you, are you going to allow that in? Is it of the Lord? You know, Scripture says, think on those things that are good, lovely, good, pour all those. Or if it's not that, you have to consciously reject it. We have to do that continually all day long. Because if we allow the garbage in that the enemy wants us to think about, it's just going to take us into a downward spiral and off we go. Each one of us. So we have to consciously take our thoughts captive and think on the things that God would have us think on and how he sees us and the good things that he has for us.
Hey, Noah, you want to help me out again, bud? So I just want... You can be done now. I got through your notes. I appreciate those. Yeah, piano.
Let me just say real quick that, you know, if we ever manage to always throw the ball to the guy and never break the glass, the next thing we'll do is stop being humble, seeing like we accomplished something. Let me just say something. You're better off knowing your need to keep on believing what he has said. And yeah, I'm grateful when the glass doesn't get broken. I'm happy. Okay, I'm really happy for you when the glass doesn't get broken. But let me just say this. You're still desperate. And the thing that you're desperate for is to hold on to, guard, keep his commands. Keep his judgments. Oh, I'm going to tell you, this is such a big deal. Who has he said you are? What is he? What of his nature has he shared with you? Who does he say you are? And keep his appointments. Positioned in his positionings. Timed with his Kairos timing. Keep his appointments. Hold on to those things. You need to. Those are places you must stay. Because your brain isn't big enough to figure it all out. Your brain isn't big enough for one of his thoughts, say nothing of all the thoughts that he has towards you. The gracious and amazing good thoughts towards you. It's not enough. So your brain's not up to it. Except it can keep the ones that he's given you. So keep those. Keep those. Hold those. Believe those. With your mouth, confess those. Don't allow internal dissension. Nope. Believe. One thing. Hear. Obey. Believe. This one thing. Father, we just come before you with gratitude that you call us to this place of faith. We are believers and we believe you. And what you say, that's true. Nothing else is true, but what you say, that's true. We choose to believe you. James, we're going to do no longer slaves and then it is well, okay? Guys, these next two songs move us into recognition of the complete salvation available to us through believing the One and what He has to say about us. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. That's an appointment. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Loving Father,
deliverance. We've been liberated from every aspect of bondage. We are His sons and His daughters. Let us sing of our freedom. See, so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and see. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Rescued me and I will stand and see. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Make it a confession. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. This is going to get to us to through it all, my eyes are on you. What you've said, your commands to me, what you've said about me, your judgments over my heart and my nature that are different from what my eyes see, but what you said, my eyes are on you and what you said. Your appointments, the things that you've designed me for and placed me into this realm for, through it all, my eyes are on you. What you said, what you believe, I believe about me. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me. Even when my eyes can't see. We're going to repeat that. You ready? Far be it from me to not believe. Even when my eyes... We're going to do it one more time. Hold on to this one. Hold on to guard it. Far be it from me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is where. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Let go my soul and trust in Him. His name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Even when our eyes don't see, we choose to believe you. We choose to pursue you and you alone. We want your ways. So we choose to believe and hold on to and keep your commands, your injunctions, your judgments about our very nature that we can't even see. We believe. Your appointments, what you have declared over us, your timings, your positionings, we say yes. We believe you, and we will listen to your voice. We thank you for your word that does not return to you void, and we keep, we hold on to your word, and we love you, Father. You are a good, good, good Father. Holy Spirit, come and solidify into our very souls the essence of your truth and life, the power of your resurrection, the accomplishment of the salvation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Grace, grace, grace to you.